Welcome to Back to the Sources, a podcast for those looking for a window into the life of Concordia Seminary and our library, whether you are a theologian, pastor, or prospective student. Each episode explores deep theological questions, profound insights, and topics of interest, brought to you by both professors and students alike. We hope that these conversations enrich your faith, academic, and professional development by connecting you to our rich resources. Back to the Sources is brought to you by the Hasse Library on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. The Hasse Library, inspiring theological discovery.
Good morning and welcome to the Back to the Sources podcast. I'm here in the basement of SEEK. Here in our studio, I'm Aiden Moon. I'm joined today by a fellow fourth-year student here at the seminary, James Bozarth. And we're here today to talk about Logos, the software that if you're a student here at the seminary, you may have tinkered around with, you know that you have access to it. It's a kind of a curious and interesting tool. Maybe you've realized that it has some really helpful features for your exegetical work. But we're going to dig in a little bit more to how students and faculty use this software themselves. And so this will be our first foray into this. So like I said, I'm joined by James Bozarth. So James, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Thank you, Aiden. So yeah, like Aiden mentioned, I'm James Bozarth. I'm a fourth year, as Aiden is, and I'm a second year. So I've actually spent about 10 or 11 years outside of the seminary as an engineer. And my drive and my love in the past was math. And so I focused in on a specific engineering field that was aerospace engineering that flies, swims, or goes into space is what I was interested in. I did about 7 years in the aerospace industry and about 4 years in automotive using cutting-edge technology like autonomous drive systems and 3D printing using the world's largest 3D printer. But a vast majority of my job consisted of structural analysis, really using different software tools and techniques to do mathematical equations, solve bigger and bigger equations using different softwares. That's kind of my background coming into the seminary.
So coming into the seminary, you had some maybe more familiarity with using different tools on the computer than a lot of incoming seminarians might have.
Right. Yeah, that was a job specific. Sometimes the customer would want us to use their specific software. So it was actually part of my job to learn their software in order to do the same job that I had done previously.
So how long did it take you to kind of figure out Logos when you got here?
I would say I'm still figuring it out. And that's probably a good thing to remember is even with my vast experience with softwares, I'm still learning Logos because there are still many ways to utilize its good resources. Mm-hmm. But I would say I jumped right in. And it's probably something you can look at as something if you get a new toy or a new tool, you don't just let it sit on the shelf. You get dirty, you get using it.
You mess around with it, see what it can do.
Right.
So speaking of that, what are some of the most helpful features that you've discovered and that you use most often in Logos?
Well, I think it's really forgiving. You know, new softwares can be scary. You know, if you upgrade from Windows Vista to Windows 10, or maybe you always really liked Windows XP. You know, new software is always really scary. You're wondering, oh no, am I going to blow up my computer, or am I going to download all the viruses? My identity is going to be stolen. You don't have to worry about that with Logos. It's pretty secure. And it's very forgiving. There are many ways to go back to what you had earlier that day. You just reload the system, and there it is, exactly how it was before you started messing with it. So it really is like the sand pit or a mud pit. You can go in and get all dirty, and the next day, there it is, ready for you to try to mess with it again. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something I like to really implore and encourage those new people, new users, is to just click buttons, open menus, hit the right click. Right click's going to be your friend. Mm-hmm. Open those menus up and see what they do. Hover over some of those text icons and see what Logos tells you that feature does. And if you're not sure what it does, go ahead and click it. See what happens.
Mm-hmm. Just do some experimenting. Well, so, and that's a good start for a lot of things. I think that the seminary provides, there's unplumbed depths that people don't even know exist. And it's the same with some of the library resources and things like the Academic Resource Center. I think a lot of students don't even realize the full possibility of support and help they can get with things like that. And Lagos is the same way. In most of us, and myself included, a lot of my time at seminary, have barely scratched the surface of what Lagos can do as a study tool, as a resource. And I probably used it more anything else than on my vicarage when I was actually regularly preparing sermons and Bible studies and those kind of things. But in that vein, what are some examples of maybe how you would approach a text? And you can choose how you want to approach this, whether for an exegetical study or a Bible study at church, or even for sermon preparation.
Sure. So again, a easy way to understand Lagos, if you're not familiar with what Lagos is or what it does, imagine the pastor's library, not the small one with just one shelf, but a large one, that floor to ceiling shelf of books upon books, the newest books and the oldest books. Lagos takes all of those, digitizes it, and puts them at your fingertips. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm thinking about a text I'm reading just for like a devotional maybe, or reading at home for fun, I'll read this verse and I'm thinking, yeah, that seems a little odd. I'm not sure what that means. Lagos allows me to highlight that text, right click, hit the search button, and find a whole plethora of information on that text. I can figure out if Pliny the Younger had said anything about it.
Yeah.
I can find out what Martin Luther said about it. You know, it's that library at your fingertips. Mm-hmm. And Lagos, you know, the better you get at it, is just using its utilities, its search function, and its database resources to the better of your abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Luther's works are still Luther's works.
Yep.
The Book of Concord is still there. But how do you access that? How do you reach the information? I think that's what takes more experience and more playing around with it to figure out how you're comfortable using the tool and getting the information you want out of that virtual library.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I found myself doing on Vicarage was using, especially the most commonly, was using the Book of Concord, actually, because I would be reflecting on the text and I'd have read it and done some time with it myself, looked at it in maybe the Greek or the Hebrew. And then as I'm trying to think of, like, you know, what are some teachings that are related to this text, I might go in and look in the Book of Concord. And like you said, you can do this by using manual indexes in a book, but it's like immediate right in front of you at your fingertips when you can just search and you can see all of the different places that this is referenced or maybe not referenced, and but you know immediately, you're not wasting time if it's not there either. And so that's one example that I would do is I'd see, oh, this verse was used in AC 5. Interesting. I wouldn't have made that connection, but they clearly did. And so then that can take you down an interesting path, whether you're preparing for a sermon or a Bible study.
Right, yeah. If you're preparing for a sermon, Lagos has done a lot of work ahead of time by grafting in structures of the text and main ideas or even the themes or topics. And you could select a text or select a pericope, and Lagos has ways to show you what kind of imagery might be in that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you didn't know the imagery of servitude was so prominent in this piece because you're so focused on some other aspect of that text. But Lagos is able to show that there's servitude, there's kingdom, there's treasure, there's spirit, and there is. You know, how is that actually in there? What can I do with that information that Lagos has given me?
Well, especially in sermon preparation, the early steps are just sort of this idea generation that you can kind of run wild. So in the later steps is when you have to narrow things down and decide where you're actually going to go to focus in. But Lagos is great, like you said, for kind of broadening your vision, opening doors you may not have noticed before. And again, you can do this manually, but it does take a lot more time. And there's people have taken the time to put some of these things together. So it's worth using. And that's a helpful tool as well. And I would also say, you probably, if you've touched Lagos, know this, but the most basic level is that either the hover function of being able to hover over a word and have references, especially in the original languages, but also, like you said, the right click, you have all of these things right there that it'll give you options to do a word study right there. Right. You can go follow that trail all the way through.
Yeah. And so that's really the basic level. Once you get comfortable using that hover and the right click, mm-hmm. you can move on to more advanced functions, especially with the original text. Over Vicarage, I developed a visual filter. So I added different colors and mm-hmm. highlighting mm-hmm. techniques to look at a pericope with a more dynamic view. So verbs are a cyan color. Participles are a brownish color. I've underlined words I should know. Mm-hmm. Prepositions are left black. I have call verbs double underlined. So now I can go through the original text without looking at the English and have just a quick cue. Hey, I'm looking at a noun. Hey, I'm looking at mm-hmm. a verb. Mm-hmm. This allows me to skim and read the text a little bit quicker than using a hover over feature.
Yep.
And it's almost like, you know, someone, a spotter at a gym or something. Yep. Just helping a little bit to grasp just a little bit more of the text.
Well, and this is why, you know, all of us are seeking to have at least this basic understanding of the original languages in our studies. And that's, I think that the spotter in a gym picture is really helpful. As you learn to use those muscles, so to speak, you can have this sort of bit of support. And that's a great idea. I wouldn't have even thought of that ability. And this is an example of where that experimentation comes in, of sort of fiddling with things and figuring out what you can do. Another example of that would be you can do a word study throughout the whole New Testament, but it is just another couple clicks to do it just within John or yes. just within Romans. And you can see how that individual author, or just in Paul, you could do it just in Paul's letters and mm-hmm. see how Paul uses a certain term. So there's these kind of features that it's not just, oh, click on it and get a gloss. It's not just, oh, this will parse things for me, but there is a more nuance there. And then you take your own skills from what you've learned of more of maybe the art side of translating and thinking about a text, and you figure out how does this actually communicate in English, and that is still your job. But you have that sort of dynamic that can give you a prop, a support, as you're sort of still figuring out, especially if you've had, you know, a summer of learning a language. Now you can continue to build on that base in a way that you're not going to spend tons and tons and tons of time going trying to remember if this is a verb or a noun.
Right. Over Vicarage, I think, was a great expanse of my experience and utilization of the Logos software. One, for sermons, they do have something called a sermon manager, and I invite everyone to investigate that because it's useful more than just for sermons and writing sermons. I actually started using it for my small staff devotions and even my Sunday morning Bible studies. I could write a schedule of Bible studies and make a series out of it, and that would be displayed on my sermon manager calendar.
Okay.
And its text would show how it connects with the liturgical calendar. Mm-hmm. And then I could set it up to get hit preach, and it would just pop up into my browser. It would give me a time limit, and I could work through each of the points I wanted to work mm-hmm. through for that Sunday morning. And not only that, I was able to select headers and select different words and have those be the blanks or fill in the blanks mm-hmm. for the participants in the Bible study. So this became my handout.
Okay.
With just a few little edits here or there in a Word doc. I was able to export from Logos, put yep. into a Word doc, export to PDF, and give it to these people. Mm-hmm. Now I had a digital copy and a physical copy, and I was working straight from that same handout, mm-hmm. but it had all my notes in it mm-hmm. that they weren't able to see. And that was just on my digital device. Mm-hmm. I could have printed that too, but I don't like the feel of paper, so I'm going to keep mm-hmm. my tablet up there.
Perfect. Yeah, well, and if you do need your paper copy, like you said, you can export things. You can export, and this is true of all kinds of things, and I'll ask about this in a moment too, but even if you were to make, say, flashcards in Logos, you can export it, print them out, cut them up, have your little paper flashcards if that's the way you want to do things. So it actually still can serve that function for you and make your life a lot easier, even if you're someone who prefers to have the hard copy in your hands. So we've talked about sort of the productive, creative side and forming ideas and research, those kind of things. What ways have you found Logos helpful in studying and practicing for classes here at the seminary?
Oh, great question. Yeah, so Logos, it's open always on my tablet. Mm-hmm. I open my tablet at the classroom on my desk, and there it is with my OneNote note writing application. Mm-hmm. as much as I can, I'll use Logos for all the readings. I'll actually buy the books and resources, especially like the Book of Concord, Luther's works, anything Walther's done. You're going to find them in Logos. Mm-hmm. And if the professor has some note about an article that was written by that particular author, I'll write a note directly into Logos, and that'll stay with me for my whole career. As long as I own Logos and I use it, that note is there. Mm-hmm. And so it really plays into the work that the professor has you do in class, and then we do your reading outside of class too. I'll highlight something with all the 15 highlighting options that it has and enter my notes in there. And now those are searchable and refinable when I'm in class. Mm-hmm. So if that professor says, you know, take a look at this, I can see, oh, I already highlighted that and I have a note. Mm-hmm. What did I think? Okay, here's my note. I'm going to add to that note. And now that note is just like printing the piece of paper out and sticking it in your library, your pastor's office. But again, searchable and digital.
Uh-huh. Yeah, though that's a great, great point. And I think this is one of those things that, and I'm personally tend towards paper copy, and I always took paper notes until this year, actually, and then I started doing experimenting with some digital note keeping, and being able to link back to yourself and just instantly find things is what finally pushed me over the edge. Because there's a lot of notes that you'll take in seminary, and many of them will be lost forever if you just write them down in a notebook and then that notebook gets lost or thrown in a box or packed away somewhere. It'll take you serious effort to find it. And so I encourage people to at least think through making your notes accessible in some way. Don't just take notes to pass classes. That's not what we're here for. We're aiming it for a whole life and career of using these resources, and you won't remember everything. So make use of it.
I had a pastor one time, 1 year out on the job, and someone had asked him, how should we use our classes and use our techniques now that will help us in the parish? Mm-hmm. You know, what advice do you have? And he said, if I were to go back and tell myself 4 years ago to do something, I would have said, take good notes so that me now could reference those notes and look back to them, because that's what I find myself doing most often in my office when I'm preparing for a Bible study. Oh, what was that systematics class about church and world and something about the Roman Catholics? Oh, what was that? Mm-hmm. But if I have something I can search, especially a digital resource, I'm hitting my Control F to find what that keyword was and trying to go back to that class.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so this is related. You mentioned that you're note-taking. What don't you use Logos for in studying?
Let's see, what I don't... So I do like to take my general class notes. If it's not particularly connected to a Logos resource, mm-hmm. I'll take my general class notes on OneNote. Mm-hmm. Now, the benefit of that is I could still link back to Logos. Mm-hmm. So I have OneNote, my digital note-taking resource. And he says, go to, you know, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 2. Okay, well, now I'm in Logos using that. And I made a note that he said something about that verse. I could actually copy that location in Logos and paste it into my class notes. Mm-hmm. And there's a hyperlink ready to go. So I actually just click the hyperlink and it opens Logos for me where that note is or where that highlight is. So it's actually still plays in, even though I'm not actually using Logos at the time.
Okay, so you can sort of connect your different resources pretty easily in that way.
Correct.
And that's helpful. And that would be true regardless of which note-taking software you're using. You can link that up. Well, thank you for joining me, James. It's been a pleasure, and I appreciate your insights. It's good to see how other people are using these resources. And we'll continue. We'll have a few more episodes like this as we hear from a couple others as to how they use this great resource. We encourage you to explore, like James says, to don't be afraid to get into the mess with it and figure out what things do, experiment. It's a forgiving resource. And so you're not going to really mess anything up. Just explore it. You have it, so don't take it for granted and make good use of it. And it will be a continuing resource for you as you go out into your ministry. This has been the Back to the Sources podcast. So thank you for joining us and have a great day.
If you enjoyed Back to the Sources, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Facebook so that you don't miss a single episode. This podcast is brought to you by the Hasse Library on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. The Hasse Library, inspiring theological discovery.